This is my first time posting this story anywhere. I hope you can learn from this experience and apply it if, God forbid, this were to ever happen to you. I work for a company that forces me to travel a lot. I usually fly, but because I know how crazy airports are on holidays, I thought it would be a smarter decision to rent a car and drive home overnight, avoiding the nightmare that would be an airport on Thanksgiving week. I started the drive home, and even though I was a little tired, I was able to cruise from about 11 p.m. until 3 a.m., as there were barely any cars on the road. Shortly after 3 a.m., I saw a van that was sideways in the middle of the road on the highway. Thankfully, I had my brights on and was able to see the vehicle with plenty of time for a safe stop. There was also an elderly woman near the side of the road who was waving me down. Cautiously, I slowed down and came to a stop. The woman walked up to my window, motioning for me to roll it down. I rolled it down the slightest bit, making sure even her hand couldn't get in the car. In an old cracking voice, she said,
"Young man, can you please help me change my tire?"
I glanced over and saw that she did indeed have a flat tire. She said to me again,
"I ran over something and my tire became flat almost instantly."
And motioned to what looked like a piece of plastic in the road. I reluctantly got out of the car and walked by the van and said she needed to move it to the side of the road for safety. I told her that there was no way we could change a tire in the middle of a highway in the middle of the night. She agreed and moved it out of the road into the side of the highway. As I began to change the tire, I had a million things running through my mind. Number one being, why did I have to be the one who got flagged down? I was almost finished taking the flat tire off when I noticed I didn't see the woman anymore, as I was providing my own light source with my cell phone, and looked up to ask if she could assist, and she was gone. I looked all around the vehicle and didn't see anybody. Nothing but pitch black darkness other than my headlights, which were providing some light in the general direction. Well, lucky for me, I had my keys in my pocket and locked my car door when I got out. I walked back over to my car and the woman was there trying to get into my vehicle. I told her to get away from my car before I called the police. She laughed at me and said it would be at least 30 minutes until anyone showed up to where we were. Just as I was trying to get this crazy person away from my car so I could leave, I noticed a man get out of the van. He must have been laying on the floor because I didn't see anybody sitting in the seats when I walked by to begin the process of changing her flat. The man seemed to be of average build. He started to approach me, his hand in his pocket, which really started to make me worry about my safety. The woman then jumped on my back and attempted to choke me. I was able to shake her off quickly and elbow her directly in the throat. She began to cough and gasp incessantly, which gave me the break I needed to get away. The guy who was approaching us devoted his attention to her, and I got in that car and sped away as fast as I could. I have never driven that fast in my entire life. The adrenaline from the events fueled me for the remainder of my trip home. I know if someone else told me this story, I would ask how dumb can you be and emphasize how idiotic of a decision it was to get out of that car. I'm just glad that I was able to get out of that situation unharmed and get home to my family. After police reports were called, I unfortunately never got any further information. I wish I would have glanced at their plates that may have helped in identifying them later. And please let this be a lesson to everyone out there. Trust your instincts, especially in situations that can affect your safety. This story may seem more weird than truly scary to many of you. At the time, I didn't really find it scary or terrifying myself. I didn't really get that feeling until I shared this with others and got their perspective. I'd be interested to see what, if any, comments any of you have regarding this experience. This event happened with my ex-girlfriend on Thanksgiving about 6 years ago. For the sake of anonymity, we will call her Kay. I met Kay in college, and at first, she was great. We shared similar interests and hobbies. We clicked instantly, and for the first time, I was excited to meet the parents of my significant other. I was going to meet them on Thanksgiving so that everyone could have dinner together. Kay never really mentioned her family, so I was excited and intrigued when she asked me to join her for the holiday. Fast forward a week or so and Thanksgiving finally comes. I make the 2-hour drive to her parents' house and my first thought as I approach the house is, wow, this place is huge. It was a gigantic brown mansion. It was very large but also looked very old. My best comparison is if you have ever seen the movie Clue. The outside of the house looked very similar to that, a mix between mansion and castle almost. I knocked on the door and almost immediately was greeted by a strange looking guy. He was short, like 5 foot flat. He was bald and wearing an eye patch. I said, "Hey, is Kay here? I'm her boyfriend." He just proceeded to look at me and didn't answer. After a few awkward seconds, Kay walked over and happily greeted me and let me inside. As we walked away, she said in her soft voice, "Oh, don't mind him, that's just Eugene. He's, like, I guess, kind of my uncle." Kind of weird way to put it, I thought, but whatever, I didn't think too much of it. As we walked through the house, I was blown away. I'd never seen anything like it. The ceilings were really high and the walls were covered with religious iconography. I wasn't raised with religion, so some of the images were foreign to me. Kay and I arrived and sat in what I assumed was the living room. There was no TV, no radio, just couches and some paintings all over the wall. The paintings seemed to cram together, trying to fit them all on the wall. An odd choice for such a nice home. After a couple of minutes, her parents walked in. Her dad was clean-shaven, with wild flowing hair, and glasses that were just big enough for his eyeballs. And her mom had long black hair that went all the way down to her back and reached her legs. It looked like they were in their mid-60s if I had to guess. I was introduced and we made small talk. It really wasn't that bad, there was no awkward pauses, but her parents were not what I expected. They seemed a little strange or eccentric, I guess. While the four of us talked basically about school, Eugene came and stood in the doorway and began watching us. After a few more minutes of talking about school, her dad got up and said he had a surprise for us. He walked into the other room and brought out a lime green stereo boombox that looked like something straight out of the 90s. In his almost comical voice, he said, "This one is for you two. I hope you like it. It used to be Kay's favorite." I looked at Kay and she was smiling. I can't even imagine what my face looked like. Confused, surprise, however that translates to a face. He pressed play on the stereo. Music began to play and her dad started to dance with her mom. The music, if that's what you would want to call it, was the weirdest thing I had ever heard in my entire life. It was just like banging of instruments, very untuned instruments and other loud noises that honestly sounded like animals. Even more weird than the song that was playing were the movements of her parents. They just hopped around and were moving their bodies like they were puppets on strings or something. Thankfully, this only lasted a few minutes and we all sat down to dinner. Of course, the dining room was no different than the rest of the house. There were paintings and religious images all over the walls. We ate dinner in a combination of silence and her dad talking about politics and religion and how they were separate yet similar. I basically just stayed quiet and ate my food, which, looking back, was pretty unconventional for Thanksgiving dinner. After the meal, we went back into the living room, and that's when her father told us he had one last surprise for us. In his high-pitched voice, he shouted, "It's now time for our annual Thanksgiving Day celebration." As I sat on the couch and tried to process what that could possibly mean, I noticed that more people were walking into the room. There was somebody dressed as a scarecrow, a teddy bear, a lumberjack, and one other that I think was supposed to be Jesus or some other religious figure. This is when I decided that I had had enough crazy for one night and had to get out of this place. I got up and announced to everyone that I had a family emergency and that I had to leave unexpectedly. I apologized and thanked them for everything thus far and said how happy I was to have met everyone. They all looked a little confused, especially Kay. They shared their happiness in meeting me and their enjoyment of the night and wished me well on my drive home. As I drove away, I looked through my rearview mirror. I saw Kay and her parents waving goodbye to me from the doorway. Where to begin? This is the weirdest, strangest few hours of my life. I am obviously no longer with Kay, and I honestly am not sure she even came back to school after that because I never saw her in person again. We texted for a few days after the event, and she acted like everything was normal. I broke it off before holiday break was over, thinking it would be easier to do so before I saw her in person again. I swear part of me thinks I was on a hidden camera TV show that night or something. Does anyone from a rare religious sect know if any of this is a common tradition? Or was I just in a house with a bunch of crazy people on Thanksgiving? I just wanted to share this short but freaky experience I had with my family many years ago on Thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving, my cousins and I got together with our respective families. I was the oldest of the cousins, 11 at the time. This particular year, our families decided to go to my great aunt's house for dinner. It was a small little farmhouse pretty much in the middle of nowhere. No one liked going there, well, at least us kids, because it was boring and there was nothing to do. My great aunt had recently lost her husband and obviously was very upset, which is mostly the reason our families decided to go there this year. I met my great aunt maybe once or twice in my entire life to this point, so I found this whole trip very weird and really wasn't looking forward to it. Before dinner, all of us kids decided we wanted to play hide and seek. Our parents let us because we could be out of their way, and as previously mentioned, there was nothing else for us to do. My cousin and I went into the basement of the house to hide. There was so much junk and old antiques down there that we could have stayed hidden and out of sight for hours. I climbed to the top of a pile of old newspapers that was backed against a dimly lit wall. I figured if I laid flat at the top, there was no way anyone could find me. Well, after a few minutes, one of my cousins did find me, and when I tried to get down, my foot got caught on something, and I slipped and fell off the side and put a small hole in the wall. At first, we were freaked out because we thought we were going to get in a lot of trouble for doing damage to the house. While we were trying to think of a story to cover it up and get ourselves out of trouble, my brother found a small box on the other side of the wall where I had recently put the hole. We pulled the box out and stared at it for a while, trying to see if we could open it. It had an entire layer of dust on it that didn't come off when we tried to blow on it. My cousin Sarah was fearless, and she grabbed the box from us and opened it. At first, we all felt like we won the lottery. It was filled with 20s, 50s, and 100s. We were young, but we knew this was a lot of money. As we looked through the money, we eventually got to the bottom of the box, and this is where the excitement vanished. There was a small knife that looked like it had dried blood on it, and next to it was what looked like a skeletal finger or maybe even a toe. Of course, we all screamed and ran upstairs crying to our parents. Our parents looked at us very confused as to what happened. We all tried to blurt out our version of the story until, as calm as can be, my great aunt giggled and said, "Oh, that's just Bob's box from when he used to mess around with his army buddies. I haven't seen that since his friend Raymond passed away." Well, fast forward years later, this story came up again, and we all tried to figure out what all that meant and what we actually found. After consulting with our family, the story goes that our great uncle Bob was involved in all sorts of crime in the Chicago area. He made a lot of dirty money and eventually gave it up when he had a family. Our family didn't have an answer as to the contents of the box or whose missing finger that could possibly be. Every year for Thanksgiving, my wife and I travel to her parents' house to relax for a few days, watch football, eat tons of food, and go Black Friday shopping. 2 years ago, I was unable to make this trip due to an incident that happened with one of our dogs. On Tuesday night of Thanksgiving week, around 11 p.m., I let our golden retriever out to go to the bathroom before I went upstairs to bed for the night. When I came back outside to let her in, she was barking very violently, sounding like she was going after another animal. When she made it into the garbage, it was apparent what happened. She had been sprayed in the face by a skunk. Fast forward 24 hours and we are dealing with a house and a dog that reeks like skunk. Needless to say, I offered to stay home with the two dogs while my wife made the trip to her parents. We couldn't travel with the dog and we certainly needed to do some maintenance to try and get the smell out of the house. My wife left on Wednesday, the same day I took the dog to the groomers and began cleaning and airing out the house. After this experience, I felt it necessary to go outside with the dogs every time I left them out in the backyard, whether it was day or night, to make sure there were no further issues with a skunk. I hadn't noticed anything out of the ordinary until Wednesday night, when it seemed like our shed doors had been opened slightly. Since it was that time of the year where it got dark out very early in the day, I had grown accustomed to having a flashlight with me to check the backyard before I let the dogs out. Unfortunately, we didn't have a motion light or any sort of light for the backyard, so the only source of light was the flashlight. With the dog still in the garage, I made my way to the shed to see why or what caused the door to be ajar. When I got into the shed, I thankfully didn't see any skunk or any other animal. I did, however, see a dirty towel, which I didn't remember leaving there, but I thought perhaps it was from when I was working on the lawnmower or snowblower. The next 20-ish hours went by without incident. I was spending Thanksgiving alone with my stinky dog in my stinky house, and we were getting ready to go to bed for the night. I did my normal routine of going outside with a flashlight, making sure the coast was clear before I let the dogs out of the garage. However, this time, as I was moving my flashlight across my large backyard, I flashed it towards the side of the shed to illuminate if there was anything behind it. Absolute panic set in as I saw a hooded figure behind the shed. I instinctively started to yell at the figure, asking what they were doing. By the time I went back to the garage to let our dogs out to go after the intruder, he was gone, and there was no one in my backyard. Freaked out, I contacted my wife to let her know what I had seen. She advised me to call the cops, but I decided I would just monitor the backyard for a while and ignore it if nothing further happened. About an hour later, I decided to take the flashlight and go to the window in my kitchen and shine it out into the backyard rather than go outside first. When I did this, the shine of the light caught the same hooded figure going into the shed and shutting the door behind them. At this point, I didn't know what to do. Let the dogs out, call the cops, confront the person myself. I honestly was frozen in shock. Trying to think quickly, and not wanting the person to get away, I grabbed a screwdriver to jam into the openings in the handles to prevent the shed door from opening from the inside. After I did this, I immediately called the police. The person was slamming on the shed, trying anything they could to get out. When the police arrived, they took him away. Thankfully, from the conversation I had with them, he didn't have any weapons on him. I'm not sure what the intent of the person was. Were they just trying to scare me? Were they drunk from drinking all day from Thanksgiving and didn't know where they were? I still have many unanswered questions from that night, including if the person was in the shed the night before and that's why it was left ajar. Perhaps he was just a squatter. Either way, there was no further incident after this issue, and thankfully my dog has also remained skunk-free since then. We now have motion lights installed in our backyard, which will hopefully prevent anyone from trying to break in to our property again. I have worked in retail for many years, and one of my least favorite days to work is Black Friday. Our store is packed to the brim. People are freaking out trying to get their items, and it is very rare to get through the night without any incident. One particular Black Friday sticks out in my memory due to an experience that I had with a customer. I was working out on the floor, assisting customers with any questions that they may have had regarding our products or our sales. I had this one customer approach me to complain about not getting a ticket towards one of our better TV offers. I apologized and tried to explain that the tickets had been given out on Thursday night and there was nothing I could do at this point. The customer smelled so bad I could barely get this information out to them without gagging. His clothes were stained and his appearance was ragged. After I explained the scenario to him one more time, a large smile came across his face and he said, "I know it's not your fault, sweetie." I was beyond creeped and grossed out. I let him know that I had to go help other customers and I hope he had a good conclusion to his evening. A short time later, I got a call up to register to try and assist with the long lines and, wouldn't you know it, I was cashing out the same guy who had been complaining to me just 15 to 20 minutes prior. He began chatting with me, ignoring the fact that he had been irate with me minutes before. He asked my name, even though I had a name tag on, how long I had worked there, how old I was, etc. As I previously mentioned, this person smelled horrific and also began to seriously creep me out with their random questioning. He asked how late I had to work, and I stated that all employees had to stay until midnight due to the fact that we were so busy. Looking back, I probably shouldn't have told him anything. He continued with more creepy questions, and I finally got him out of my line and moved on to the next customers. Fast forward to a few hours later, and I'm finally getting ready to leave after an exhausting day. I walked out to the parking lot with my coworker Matt and said goodbye to him and that I would see him on Sunday. As I made my way to my car, I thought it was unusually quiet, especially for how busy it had been throughout the day, but it was past midnight, so most stores were closed. As I was approaching my car, a set of headlights began to shine in my direction. Blinded by the light, I just proceeded to unlock my car and reach for the handle to get in and leave. The next thing I know, the headlights had made their way right in front of my car and someone was putting their car in park and getting out. To my utter shock and horror, it was the same slovenly customer who had creeped me out earlier in the night. At this point, I started fearing for my safety as this person clearly wasn't all there upstairs. He had parked in front of my car and left his car running, blocking me from going anywhere. We got out of the car and I asked if I could help him and what he was doing blocking my car. He mentioned something along the lines that I needed to come with him and that we belonged together. At this point, I tried to make my way back to the store, but the guy pressed his body weight against me and pressed me against my own car. I couldn't move and was trapped. Fearing for my life, I began to scream as he covered my mouth. His hands somehow smelled worse than his body odor. He began to try and move me towards his car, still trying to muffle my screams while dragging me with his other arm. Just when I thought I was going to be overpowered, a car horn began to honk incessantly. He let go of me and hopped in his car and sped off as quickly as he had arrived. The car that was honking then pulled up to me, and it was Matt. Thankfully, on his way out, he had noticed that there was a car blocking mine in, and as he got closer, saw that there was someone grabbing me. He immediately got on the phone with the police and began honking as he came over to my side of the parking lot. Matt waited with me for the police to arrive so that we could each give a statement. The cops requested to get into the store so that we could check the camera footage in order to try to get a better view of the guy who had stalked me for the night. To my knowledge, they never caught him, or at least, he was never charged. I haven't heard anything from the incident, but I am thankful that I had never seen that person again. And I'm very thankful to Matt for saving me that night. I've always wondered what could have happened if he hadn't been there. For a little bit of background related to this incident, I am a former athletic director of a small elementary school which also sponsors high school basketball teams. This particular event happened on Thanksgiving night 3 years ago. After I had a delicious meal on Thanksgiving with my family, my wife decided she wanted to go Black Friday shopping, so I decided to go to the gymnasium and start setting up for Friday morning. Every Thanksgiving weekend, our gym hosts a Thanksgiving basketball tournament for a handful of local high school teams. It was becoming a pretty well-recognized tradition in our community. Anyway, I spent about an hour or so setting up chairs, bleachers, prepping concessions, and getting the equipment in order. This was perfect because I could now sleep in a little tomorrow morning and not have to worry about rushing to the gym and set up. To try and give you a visual setup of the gym and its surroundings, it is a very small gym with one set of main doors that leads into a small elementary school. The school is very old and the hallways are lined with brick. If I'm being honest, it reminds me of an old prison. The lighting in the halls is dim, even in the daylight, due to lack of windows and its construction. The school apparently used to be a home for nuns in the 1930s, and I don't think it's structurally been updated very much since. In my opinion, it's a pretty creepy place. I've been in this place probably 100 times myself, and it still gives me an eerie feeling. Once I finished all my prep work for the tournament, I decided to shut the place down and go home for the night. I went into the far corner of the gym to the circuit breaker and shut off all the lights. At this point, the gym was lit by only moonlight, and the glow of street lights shining in through the large gym windows. I walked into the small hallway that was basically pitch black at this point, using my cell phone flashlight to avoid running into a wall. As I walked down the long hall towards the exit, I started to hear a scratching noise. I stopped walking to try and locate the source of the noise because it was very loud and distinct. It sounded like it was coming from one of the classrooms up ahead. As I pointed my cell phone flashlight up the hall, I noticed that one of the classroom doors were open. This was odd because the policy was that all the doors were to be locked when the teachers left for the evening. Admittedly, I was a little spooked thinking possibly an animal had gotten into the classroom or something else. But the only way to leave was passing the door in the hall to get to the main entrance, which was probably another 30 feet away. I continued down the hall, my eyes sharp to try and find the source of the noise that has now gone silent. As I passed that room, I saw something, and it definitely was not an animal. It was a green figure, a tall green silhouette of a man wearing a button-up shirt, parted hair, and long pants. And I mean tall. It was probably standing about 6.5 feet. It was just standing there, hovering, staring out the door, staring at me. It didn't move or make any noise. Its face was impossible to make out, like staring into the abyss. In the brief moment that I stood there frozen in fear, I felt very cold, like a window had been opened. I don't know why I didn't just run. I think my brain was trying to process if this was a human intruder, or if I was witnessing something I couldn't rationalize. I snapped back to reality and began to sprint down the hall, looking back once more as I ran out the main entrance, now seeing the figure in the hallway. I drove home as fast as I possibly could, not able to get the image of the figure out of my head. Of course, as you would expect every time, I relay this story to my family or friends. People either think it's a joke or that I'm trying to scare them. For the rest of that year, I never went to the property by myself after dark. I came and went out the back entrance that was not supposed to be used in order to avoid that hallway. After the season was over, I resigned and appointed someone else to my position. I can't tell you what I saw or experienced that night, but I hope nothing like that ever happens to me again.